Well, hello, everyone. It's really good to be with you again. There's so much that the Holy Spirit's doing right now. There's a place, I wasn't going to read this, but let me start there. There's a place, and I just rediscovered it in the last week in prayer the other day. I came across this scripture, and I was reminded of it being like a scripture revival that I had heard about years ago. So amazing and so profound. And it's in 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Now, David has just won a great victory over the Philistines in the verses just previous. Let me just read that. We probably won't even get to the verses I was going to get to. We'll do that tomorrow in Ezekiel 47, but I want you to hear this. Because the question is this, is that do you want personal revival? And secondly, how far do you want to go in that? Another way of saying it would be, how baptized in the Holy Spirit do you want to be? Do you want enough of the Holy Spirit operating in your life where you can still measure it so that you have some form of control? Or do you want to steward in your life the Spirit filling you without measure, so you're no longer measuring and trying to control? That's really the question. Because today, God is on the move in profound ways, in places all over the world. We've seen it, glimpses of it in the last few years on college campuses. It's spreading into churches, to whole church movements. It's just a stunning thing that's going on. In the end, there's two things that are important. One is that you experience it. I don't care what you call it. But that two, that what you experience is sustainable. Because there's been a history of a lot of revivals, moves of God throughout history, but they were never very sustainable. Because remember, we've talked about this before, the word revive, the word vive, just means life. And so to be revived is when the Holy Spirit restores Christians and the part of the church that jumps in, that experiences it, is restored to normal. And so, as I've mentioned before, when I look at the book of Acts, I now look at it as a book of normality. It's a book of revival. It's a picture of normal Christianity. People will say that you can't get theology from the book of Acts. That's nonsense. It's full of theology. It's full of ecclesiology. It gives us a revelation as to what normal Christianity, normal church life should look like, what a normal Christian's life should look like. They should look like a person who's able to operate in two worlds at the same time, the heavenly world, heavenly realm, and the earthly realm. They're supernatural beings. They're not normal people. They're abnormal, but normal from God's perspective. And so when we talk about revival, we're just talking about being restored to normal, but Christ-like normal. And Christ-like normal is the fullness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit being lived out in and through us. And we want that to be sustainable, not just a flash in the pan, not just a moment or for a few years, but Christ-likeness should be sustainable. And Christ-likeness is more than just character. It is the very likeness of the life that Jesus lived. The life he lived then, when you read in Scripture, the life he lived then, and every bit of it, lived now by him in us. That's revival. The life he lived then, lived now by him in us and through us. That's revival. This is from 2 Samuel 5. This is verse 17. And when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. And then David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me. like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, he named the place Baal Perazim, or the Lord of Breakthrough. Now, the word we get that we use breakthrough comes from this scripture. And so when you think about breakthrough, remember this, and this is a word about revival too, but when you think about breakthrough, we talk about encounters a lot. And every time I spend time with the Lord in the Word, every time I pray, whenever I'm in church, I have encounters. And encounters are wonderful. But encounters aren't just meant so that you have some memory about how you had this encounter with the Lord, but encounters are always meant to create repentance. And when we think about repentance, repentance comes in the New Testament, comes from two words, the word to think and then the word with, to think with. So whenever we repent, we're simply choosing, and we're in that moment, we're brought to a place where we no longer want to live from the mind of the flesh, but we're surrendering to the mind of Christ about a matter or a situation or a circumstance or a lifestyle or an attitude or whatever choices that we're making, that we are surrendering to the mind of Christ, and we're transformed by the renewing of our mind as we stop thinking from just the natural mind, and the natural mind is now under the control of the mind of Christ. And so when you have an encounter, it's meant to produce repentance. And when there's repentance, then there's breakthrough. Then you're now occupy a place you didn't occupy before spiritually. Encounter is meant to produce repentance. And in repentance, we break through. We become more vived. We become more revived. We come into a greater revival personally because we have a breakthrough because we've repented. And we break through into a place where we're occupying something we didn't occupy before, or the enemy has stolen and we're reoccupying. Okay? Now, the very next few verses, it says in verse 22, "Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, the Lord said to him, 'You shall not go directly this time, but circle around behind them and come at them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines.' So David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba until you come to Gezer." Now this time the Lord told him, don't go directly to them, circle around them until you're standing in front, the mulberry trees are in front of you. And when you hear the sound, in the King James Version, it says, and when you hear a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, it's translated marching in the New American Standard. When you hear the sound of marching, the movement, it's God moving, and this Holy Spirit moving, the wind blowing through the tops of the mulberry trees, and it has the sound of God's moving, God's movement. It says, when that happens, then respond quickly. You shall act promptly. And God will have gone before you to give you victory. We are living in a day where we can hear the sound of the Holy Spirit in the tops of the mulberry trees. We can hear the sound of God moving through the tops of the mulberry trees and asking us to respond and act promptly. It's happening all over. It's just an amazing time. And don't miss, somebody had a word Sunday when they came into church and they were sharing it again today. As they walked in the building, God spoke to them, "Do not miss the day of my visitation." Now, we want more than visitation, don't we? We want habitation. That's a sustainable revival. But the real issue is, how much do you want that? How much do you long to be, to walk in and manifest the fullness of Christ? Because that's what the church is supposed to be, according to Ephesians chapter 1. The church is the fullness of him who fills all and who is in all. I love, again, what it says in Colossians 3, I think it's verse 11, for Christ is all, and he's in all. Revival is not a thing that you experience. Revival is Jesus. Every time you break through, every time you have an encounter which causes you to repent, and you have a breakthrough, you occupy a realm of Christ-likeness that you had either forfeited or have never experienced before. So you get to experience more of Jesus living out his life through you, and you're now operating from the mind of Christ in that particular area in your life. You're living from the mind of heaven as people seated in heavenly places. And so as one seated in heavenly places, every time you have breakthrough, as you move into greater and greater revival, where you're more and more experientially occupying Christ-likeness, what you're doing is you're occupying experientially the heavenly places realm that you already are seated in. You begin to live from that place, the walking on earth. Tomorrow we'll look at a place in Ezekiel 47. That's where I intended to start today until the Holy Spirit interrupted me. But I wanted you to see that scripture. Start praying into it. Can you hear the sound? Do you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees? The wind blew in such a way that it created the sound of marching. It was the sound of God on the move. God is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Will you respond, act promptly, and posture yourself to have an encounter which will produce repentance so that you can have a breakthrough and you begin to occupy more of Christ experientially than you ever have before? You possess all of him, but will you partake more of him? Every time you break through, you partake of more of what you possess. You possess your possessions. Okay, well, we'll look at it tomorrow, and it'll be at 5 o'clock again tomorrow. We'll post it at 5 o'clock. So make sure that you listen in, because that's where we're going to follow up in part two of what I'm talking about, is that how far do you want to go? And again, this question, how baptized in the Holy Spirit do you want to be? Because I have found that many people, from the example of Ezekiel 47, they have discovered ankle-deep water. They've never been in the water before. They've discovered ankle-deep water, and they like it. It's something that you can still control. And or they like even knee-deep water, which is deeper, or waist-deep water. But do you want water to swim in? Do you want water that is taken over, water that's over your head? At some point, are we willing to get in over our heads so that our logic doesn't, and our wanting to understand everything and control everything, our need to measure everything, we give up that right, and we just want to get in over our heads? That's what God's saying today. The wind is blowing through the tops of the mulberry trees. God is on the move. And he is not a respecter of persons. Not one of you have to be left out. But the question is, how far do you want to go? Okay? Well, we'll jump back at this tomorrow. Look at it some more. Love you so much. Thanks for listening. If you found that this blessed you in any way, ministers to you, then share it with others. And so that others will have an opportunity to hear this also. And again, through the help of someone who God has sovereignly provided, somebody who really knows their stuff, this is what we're going to be doing. It's going to be much more professional. It's going to be more consistent. It's going to be on different platforms, and on this, on a YouTube channel, and on a podcast, different things we're going to do. And again, pray into that. And that's going to be exciting. But until then, we'll keep doing these spot things here and there, and hope it's encouraging to you. Love you so much. I pray that you get to launch out into the deep and experience all that Jesus is, living his life through all that you are in the nitty-gritty that makes up your daily living. Okay, well, God bless. Have a great rest of the evening.